Today I'm at Lingfield with Hayley Moore. Thanks very much for agreeing to talk to us, Hayley. First, we go straight into your past. You were born into a racing family. So how was that growing up surrounded by horses and racing, etc.?
It was a real pleasure, actually. I was lucky enough to spend a lot of time around my grandfather, who trained in Brighton, where I grew up. And it was lovely because my nan was very involved, Lorna. She was always doing the feeds. My mum would be riding out. My dad would be there eventually. He had that stint training up in Epsom to begin with. So never got to see him that much when we were really young, but it was great because he spent a lot of time with my nan and granddad, and they were a lot of fun. My granddad was a real character. He'd always be singing around the yard, telling jokes. He was just a larger than life person, and being around him, you know, incredibly grateful. We always had ponies amongst all the racehorses. I think actually we ended up having about 5 ponies between 4 kids, so we were certainly well spoiled. And my granddad would always come back from some race meeting and he'd be like, oh, we've got you a new pony, and it would need breaking in probably, and it would certainly need to be starting from scratch. So I wouldn't say we were spoilt with ready-made show jumping ponies, but it certainly, I think, taught Ryan to ride when he'd have to break them in from quite a young age. So it was a lot of fun. My two older brothers, Ryan and Jamie, would always have all sorts of arguments because we'd have to go and muck out our ponies. It taught us a lot about responsibilities, but it was a great upbringing, actually. Very carefree. Our parents would sort of leave us to head off to the yard there. See my nan, she'd always spoil us with some chocolate, and see my granddad. My granddad was quite a stern character, so I think he disciplined us all and certainly kept us on the straight, because you couldn't get away with anything. He was a man that certainly enlisted hard work into you, but it was a great opportunity being around the horses. We learned so much from a young age. Lucky that we had our own ponies as well, so it was, you know, it was great, just the great outdoors and being involved with horses from a very young age, and incredibly grateful for that.
You can tell by your enthusiasm in the voice, it's obviously something you really enjoy. I might be surprised to learn that I read somewhere that your father Gary tried to put you off following in this sort of business.
Yeah, my dad obviously started off being a jockey himself, and he was very much a journeyman jockey. Apparently he rode very well. I was too young, obviously, to make a judgment on that. So he rode, and I think he found it very tough. So I don't think he ever really pushed any of us into being jockeys, to be honest with you. Ryan was very much the start of his career, being educated, doing his A-levels, was into his football, did a little bit of amateur riding, and then ended up being incredibly talented. Jamie always had the mindset he was definitely going to be a jump jockey, as was Josh. But for myself, I think it was, even in the last 20 years or so, things have changed a lot for women and being jockeys. And his sister, my auntie Candy, she'd had some nasty falls as well, and you know, she'd come out of it intensive cares from nasty jump incidents. So I think when you have a daughter, you kind of think, right, I'm never going to let her go and do that. So it was very much, you can go and be a flat jockey, enjoy it, but you'll do your education. It's not really a career that's very straightforward for females. And he made sure that I was going to just be a flat jockey as an amateur. So, you know, he was very supportive when I started out, obviously got me going. I'd had lots of experience of riding around Brighton Racetrack, where I had my first ride, and I felt as I was very ready to go out when I did go out. But yeah, he certainly wasn't encouraging it, but I think, to be fair, it was the right move to do. I think you've got to be hugely talented to make a good living as a female jockey. But things have changed a lot, even from when I started riding, you know, just 15 years ago.
So there was never any real doubt in your own mind that you would be doing it in some sort of capacity?
No, I always felt as though I'd definitely do it. I suppose when you've got two older brothers that have naturally gone into it, been amateurs and then made professional careers out of it, for me it was always a case of go and be an amateur and then do it alongside something else, but it wouldn't be my career path and the way that I would sort of be what I'd be doing for my whole life.
So has having a high profile racing family been a help, or has it been added pressure to you as you pursued your own career?
I think it's been a massive help. I think obviously people know who I am because of my father, because of my brother. So I guess they know where I'm coming from and what kind of background and upbringing I have, and I think it's definitely helped me get to certain places in my career.
You talked about growing up with your brothers. Was there an awful lot of sibling rivalry back when you were children?
Yeah, when we would be competing on our ponies, you know, we'd all always want to beat one another. But I think we've always been incredibly supportive of one another. We wouldn't be, I know you sometimes see a lot of families sort of bickering or not wanting their brother to do better or worse than them. But I think we've always just been pleased for one another. Ryan's obviously been incredibly successful. And I think that we all just are absolutely delighted, and I wouldn't say there'd ever be jealousy or rivalry. He's, I think, pretty unique and a standout, and then the two boys are jump jockeys and they've got very successful careers as well. I think Josh is a lovely rider, very different from Jamie, but they're both hugely successful jump jockeys, and I couldn't think of anything better than watching them, you know, ride winners.
You mentioned earlier that you were involved with show jumping as kids. Would you say that was something that you might have considered as a career professionally?
Not really, no. I think we understood it was incredibly expensive, a very expensive sport to get into. And you've got to have, I think, a huge talent as a show jumper to make it. And it's a lot of hard work, which obviously horse racing is as well. But I don't know, I suppose we were being brought up in a horse racing yard. That was more our passion. And I continued as a teenager with my younger brother Josh. We did eventing up until we were a bit older, but the boys, the two older boys, they did a bit of show jumping. They were very keen to get on and ride the race horses, and they actually gave up the show jumping a lot earlier than what myself and Josh did. Which was a shame, as I'm sure they would have both been very good at putting their hand to most things.
So when did you get your amateur jockey's licence?
When I turned 16, I was keen to get out there. I think I sat a GCSE paper, my English paper, in the morning, and then had my first ride at Brighton. My father was kind enough to give me an absolute steering job for a very important owner of ours, Richard Green. A horse that had proven himself around the track, Flying Spirit. He absolutely loved the place, and I knew how to ride the track. I'd had a lot of help from Ryan on where to go. I'd actually ridden work in the mornings on the race course as well, so I went out there very confident, and that was my first ride, and thankfully it was a winning one, but I would have done very well to have gotten that horse beat that day.
You're probably your biggest victory was the Longines Ladies Handicap on Captain Ramus in 2011. Does winning a race like that really rekindle and kickstart the fire to want to become a professional?
It kickstarts the ambition to go on and want to go out there and compete, but not to be a professional, no. For a start, and being very practical, I'd always be too heavy to have been a female professional. I've never been that light. Obviously, there's a lot of help now with your diets and things like that, so I'm sure you could get guided to be at a lighter weight. But no, it was a very special win for me. It was a race that I think every amateur aspires to win. And then I was lucky enough to follow it up the following year on board Redvers. So I got a real taste of that race, and I've never felt more sick than when I came second in it. When I got stopped in running on a couple of occasions during the race, and it meant I didn't win, had to go down into second, and it was almost as if I'd never won that race before. I felt that gutted not to have won it a third time, but I was lucky enough to win it on a couple of occasions. Riding at Ascot's just absolutely brilliant. I don't think there's a better track in the world really to be able to compete at, so it's very lucky as an amateur that you get to go there and win some nice diamond watches as well, so that's always a bonus. But No, I think I've always been quite realistic, and being a competitive amateur was always very much my mindset, really.
It was quite well reported that you sort of called up Michelle Payne after she won, not called her up, but commented on her comments after she won the Melbourne Cup that racing is sexist, and you said that if a girl had proven ability, she'll get the rise. You still believe that's true?
Yeah, I do. I think more than ever, really. I think that it's been proven recently with the likes of Josephine Gordon. She's operating at the top level, and if you are good enough, trainers will give you rides. If you've got the right brain, racing brain, if you can judge pace, if you've got the strength, if you're the full package and you're good enough, you'll get rides. So I thought when she won the race, good for her, and if she's felt that through her career the sport's been sexist against her, then individually that's I'm sure what she's come up against. But as a whole, and as a person that looks out, looks, you know, from the outside in or inside out, whatever, I don't think there is. I think if you're good enough, you'll get there. I think the likes of Nina Carberry have proven that, Katie Walsh have proven that. I know they're both recently retired, but I think if you are good enough, you'll get where you want to be, and you will get opportunities. I think nowadays more than ever, that things are better for a female when it becomes to being a jockey. So yeah, I stand by that. You know, Michelle Payne was a terrific rider, and if she felt that on her own self, then I think that was a personal thing for her. So, you know, obviously you can't disagree with her, but I'd probably rather have heard her appreciating the fact she just won a Melbourne Cup, other than you know, sticking two fingers up to the guys that didn't support her, and you know, to prove it for women. But I think if you're good enough, then you will get the rides. And she's not had the backing that I thought she would have done after winning a Melbourne Cup. So maybe she is right. But you know, that's what she feels individually, anyway.
Okay, you last hung up your saddle after a race in August 2017. Is that it? Have you retired from the saddle?
Nope, definitely haven't retired. Still riding out as much as I can for my father. I'm just trying to prioritise my career in the media. I've got a long way to go. I've got a lot to learn. And I think that it's hard to be focusing on race riding and doing everything as well as doing, you know, a media career at the same time. And, you know, I'm relatively new to doing TV stuff. So I think that that's something I've got to improve on and show my dedication to.
Now, another aspect of racing that's probably unusual for a lady to participate in, you won the Filly Factor commentating contest also in 2011. Did you wish to pursue that as a career?
No, I think that is one of the most demanding things I've ever done. I've covered most areas in horse racing, but race commentating is something that I don't actually think I've got the ability to do. I could watch a race, remember the silks and whatnot and comment on it, but not to the standard in this country. I think it's absolutely second to none, and I think we've got wonderful commentators in this country. It is incredibly intense. I think people focus on their mistakes more than they ever are praising them. I think the last couple of years, to be fair, actually, I think commentators have had a little bit of a pat on the back, dare I say it, which they thoroughly deserve, which has been nice to hear, because normally people are just forgetting how good they are and are quick to pick up, you know, when they might call the wrong horse, but it's just typical human error. But no, I gave it a good go. Really enjoyed it. I found it very eye-opening. I got some training with, I think, some of the best in the business. They told me what they're looking for. It, you know, helped me read a race even better, because obviously I've, you know, watched it. If my brothers are riding, if we've got a runner, I've ridden in races, so I could race read. But it was just, it was making it a more sort of whole encompassing way of watching a race. So I learned a lot from the experience, and it's something that you know, I'd love to have started, you know, when I was really young. But I think you've got to have that confidence and that passion from probably when you're a teenager, because I think it's an incredibly hard thing to do. The short-term memory, getting the names of the horses in your head and out again, I've got so much respect for commentators, so I learned a lot from it, but more than anything, just how good the commentators in this country are.
How long did that run for, that competition?
It ran for a few months. It was a while ago now. I remember the weekend came when it was the King... it wasn't the King George weekend. I think it was the King George weekend, actually, but a few years ago when it used to be on the Saturday and the Sunday. So I remember I rode on the Saturday and was lucky enough to win on Captain Ramius, and then the following day I had to commentate in the final. So it was a good weekend, a very successful weekend, and my best weekend probably ever at Ascot. I think that started off back in, must have been about April time or May time at Doncaster. So it was a good experience, good initiative, and I'm sure at some point there will be a female commentator in this country. I think it'll be very tough, but I'm sure there'll be someone good enough that has the ability to do it. I think it's a great skill.
Okay, so you've ridden in races, you've commentated on races, and now you've studied production, and now you're in front of the camera. So have you found your vocation in front of the camera?
I'd hope to think so. I enjoy it. I've still got a lot to learn. Lucky enough, I've had a lot of help over the years. I get a lot of feedback as well, so it's always really appreciated when people take me under their wing and advise me. Racing.com over in Australia, and Shane Anderson, who gave me a go in front of the camera. So it was quite funny going around the other side of the world, but in a way that was quite nice, because I suppose it didn't have the usual attention of everyone knowing me in this country. So it was a good way to find my feet, and I'll be eternally grateful for them for giving me that opportunity, and then throughout the races for letting me pursue my passion. But it was good to do the production behind the scene, because it meant that I got a good understanding of how a programme comes together.
So I was going to ask that. So does it helps you as a presenter to know what goes into the production?
Yeah, definitely. And when you've got all these abbreviations written down on a running order, you know exactly what they mean as well.
And would you say that the racing media is an equal opportunities industry as far as young women getting into the game are concerned?
Yeah, for sure. If anything, I think it's a good time to be a female. Things seem to be happening a lot better if you're a woman. The gender balance seems to be getting stronger and stronger. Women are fighting for a lot more. So yeah, I actually believe that if you're a woman coming into our sport, you've probably got a better chance of getting even put forward than some men that maybe you shouldn't be getting put forward in front of.
So you've done a lot in the industry. Do you have any goals to try anything else in the future? And what's been the highlight so far?
No immediate goals, just to continue to improve, get better, take on board advice that I get from producers. Try and just get people to enjoy the sport as much as I do, and I suppose it would just be looking forward to covering some bigger days, you know, the big Group 1 days on the English calendar, whether it's you know, on the flat or even the grade ones and the big occasions over the jump. So just continue to get better and better.
Now, I'm assuming that somebody in the media doesn't mind being recognised, but you transcended racing media and became worldwide famous overnight for that catch. Can you tell us a little bit about that incident, please?
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting that. I was just at Chepstow watching the race and could see Give Him a Clump had unshipped his rider, and the horse unfortunately continued to do 2.5 laps of Chepstow, which is actually over 5 miles. And I'd done my winning interview, spoke to the jockey that won the race. I strolled back up, and this poor horse was still galloping around the track. There was a few people that had gone out to try and stop him, and I thought I should go and give them a hand, really. I had nothing better to do and didn't want racing to be held up, and most importantly, didn't want this horse to hurt himself. So, he'd done a lot of galloping. 5 miles is a long way. It's further than a Grand National, and he'd been going at a fair old speed as well. So I just thought I'd go and give him a hand, and luckily I caught it, and it stopped very quickly. Normally if you grab a horse and you get dragged, you'll give up, you'll let go. But this horse was absolutely exhausted and he stopped very quickly, and thankfully he was okay. And wasn't expecting that reaction, but my cameraman John was very quick to pick up his camera and not miss a moment.
They make quite light of that, but a speeding horse that weighs probably the amount of a small family car. Did you have second thoughts and it was too late?
No, I was actually just stood to the side of him, and I thought I'd try and grab his reins. He was going quite fast and I got knocked over, which probably made it all the dramatic, but I'm used to having to try and catch loose horses. Growing up in Brighton, on the inside of the racetrack, there's actually a main road, so you normally do whatever you can to catch a loose horse. Where we are now, it's a lot safer, so there's never quite that desperation. But I suppose I've had a lot of practice over the years of catching loose horses.
And did you enjoy being interviewed live on the national news?
It was a bit odd, really. A bit weird, but I guess that what I did was quite funny to watch and made a few people laugh. And I don't know, it's something that I don't think I'll be repeating again, because I wouldn't want that attention.
Well, I was going to say, have you got any advice for girls who want to break into the horse racing industry? But I think you've already explained that you don't think really there's much of a difference these days. So what advice would you give to anybody starting out in work or a career that wants to break into the horse racing industry, which sometimes seems quite insular or a closed shop?
Make sure you do it for all the right reasons. Make sure it's what you want to do. It's a very tough game. It's got to be part of your life. You can't look at it as work. The hours are long. The hours are unsociable. So make sure that it is exactly what you want to do. I couldn't think of anything better than working with thoroughbred racehorses, and I feel very lucky. But if it is what you want to do, then I think that the door is very open to anybody, whether you can ride, whether you've had experience. There's all sorts of people that will help you. So don't think about it. Just come and do it, as long as you know it's what you want to do.
Brilliant. Hayley Moore, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Johnny Ward presents The Front Runner in association with starsports.bet. 18 and over. Be gamble aware.